Yeah, like Jim said, my name is Sarah Reed, and I'm from Waterloo, and that's where I grew up. It's where I went to school, but soon I'll be moving to Austria to work as a long-term missionary. And this morning, I just want to share a bit about my own story of how God has led me to this place in my life, as well as a bit about Austria, the culture there, what I'll be doing there, and then as well how, as individuals and a church, you can invest in the work that God is doing in Austria. Our slides, are you going to switch slides for me? Okay. So you can.
The videos might work.
Okay, that's good. You can go two more. And so I'm not going to Austria alone, but I'm going through a mission organization called Multiply. And Multiply comes out of the Mennonite denomination of faith. And their tagline is, "Together that the world may know." And you may have heard in the reading this morning, this tagline comes from a verse in John 17, where Jesus is praying for all who will believe. And he's praying that there would be unity in the church so that they would know who he is and where he came from. As well, Multiply serves in many different ways. Their mandate is to make disciples, plant churches, and then develop networks of churches. And they want that cycle to continue so that the networks will then make more disciples, plant more churches, and continue to develop these networks. Multiply currently serves in 65 different nations. And in the training program I was at during the fall, there was 8 others of us, and they were being sent to all around the world. So Myanmar, Mexico, Austria, and even to Toronto to work with a Tibetan diaspora there. As well, Multiply works and supports national leaders. So we come in as foreigners. We don't know the language. We don't know the culture. So we partner with leaders who God has been raising up and who God has given a heart to reach their own people and nation. And one great example of this is in Myanmar, where the missionaries this past Christmas partnered with Pastor Isaiah to run Christmas outreach programs to rural and urban workers. And over those outreaches, over 1,000 people came to Christ, became connected with local churches, and around 250 of them were baptized, which is amazing. Now, a little more about me. You may recognize a few people in that picture. There's my brother Ian, he is an accountant, and my sister-in-law Emma, who's an optometrist. And I like to say, between the two of them, my taxes will always get done, and I'll be able to see. And thanks to Emma, I got these great glasses the other week, and everything is so much clearer. It's wonderful. As well, there are my parents, Greg and Rosalyn. My mom, she's a piano teacher. She taught me how to play. And she also taught me many other important skills, such as how to memorize scripture. And she really modeled what it meant to be a servant leader. My dad, he has had a few different jobs, and he's really modeled what it meant to take risk-taking obedience for the kingdom. Multiple times, he's actually left the security of a position in the school system as a teacher and then vice principal to work in ministry. And like we were saying this morning, I remember when I was fairly young, maybe 5 or 6, I told my dad I wanted to be a missionary. And he said, "Well, Sarah, you're going to be a missionary wherever you are and whatever you do." And so he really taught me that the calling we have as disciples isn't dependent on our context or vocation, but that we're actually called to be missional wherever we are and whatever we're doing. And so as well as sending out long-term workers, Multiply also runs short-term programs for people of all ages and denominations. And the model of these programs is to have a time of orientation and training at the beginning before you're sent out as a team on an assignment to do a service project and then return for a time of debrief at the end. And so one of these programs I did was called Action, and it's a 6-week long. And during that program, I traveled with a team to Central Asia where we served with refugee children running kids camps. And this was a really significant time in my own faith journey, as it is where I learned to recognize God's voice, and God started to grow in me a heart for the people that I was serving, as well as a heart for mission. And so when I returned home, you can go to the next slide. I was studying at the University of Waterloo, like Jim said, in international development and peace and conflict studies. And I have to admit, I entered into this program because it had such a broad course load the first year. So I knew if I wanted to switch, it would be easy to switch to another program. But returning, God had planted this heart for mission in me, and I realized, wow, this is a great program to be in if I want to work cross-culturally in mission. And so looking back, I really see God's hand in my education and how he was leading and directing me before I even knew the path that he had me on. As well, returning home, God continued to show me glimpses of his heart, not for people abroad or in other countries, but for the people in my own community. And so I started volunteering at this ESL program in the community around the corner from my church. As well, I started to volunteer and come into a leadership position in the young adults program at our church, where I was able to practice gifts of teaching and serving, leading small groups, and leading people in prayer. After my first trip to Central Asia, it seemed like God just continued to open the door again and again to return. And each time I said yes, he continued to grow in me this heart for missions. And he continued to teach me more about who he was. And not just about who he was, but actually getting to know him in a relationship as a father and a friend. And so there are many stories that I could share from these trips. However, I want to highlight a few for you this morning. So the one time when I was in Central Asia, we ran a peace camp between the nationals and the refugees that were there. And it was a week of where young adults came together to learn what peace looks like, to learn about reconciliation, forgiveness, collaboration, and what that means. And so there was one powerful moment during the day we were learning about forgiveness. And one of the refugees stood up from the group and wanted to share at the front. And he basically shared that he was sorry for all the racial things he had done against the nationals in that country and forgave all of the racial things that had been done against him. And in that moment, there was two of the nationals who came up and embraced him just to say, we accept your apology and we're sorry as well. And so that was a powerful moment that I experienced on one of those trips. Another was a cool story about disciples making disciples. And we talk about that a lot in Multiply, and this kind of just happened at an exponential rate. So in this picture in the background, there's a man, his name is Abraham, and we had a picnic one Saturday and a baptism service in the river there. And so he was baptized on Saturday, but then the next day he was baptizing his friends in the church. And so that was just a really cool experience and witness to what it means for disciples to make disciples. Another program I've gone on with Multiply is called Trek, and that's their 10-month program. And I entered into Trek specifically to discern if long-term mission was something that God was calling me into. I had had all these short-term experiences. However, the short-term experience, the pace of life isn't really sustainable. And so Trek is a program where you're able to experience more of what everyday life is like and what it would look like to live as a long-term missionary. And so during my assignment, I went to Austria. And it was a joke between the pastor and I that we wanted God to send me a letter. And in the letter, he would say where I should go serve, for how long, and all the specifics. And unfortunately, he didn't send me a letter, but it ended up being a good thing because he didn't just want to hand me a piece of paper and me be a robot and go do what he said. He actually wanted me to be invested in this discernment process, and he wanted a relationship with me. And so this began a journey of actually discovering more of who God had created me to be, because who he's created me to be was going to fit in perfectly with what he was calling me to do. And so that was a start of this discernment process. And so while I was on this program, I was invited by Multiply to an interview process. And so the discernment continued with their leadership, as well as my home church, which is Waterloo Mennonite Brethren, with my family and my supporters, as well as the missionaries and the leaders in Austria. And so long story short, I was invited by Multiply to be a long-term missionary in Austria. And I said yes, and that is why I'm here today. And so, without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to a few of my teammates in Austria, if the video works. A few weeks ago, there were the three guys that are on my team. We're in the car together and decided to make a video to say hello. So we'll see if this works.
Hello, everyone in Ontario. This is Team Austria coming to you just outside of Linz. We just wanted to send greetings from our team here. These are the three guys. My name's Dave Berg, and I'm with Team Austria.
And I'm Richard, the old guy. Yeah, I've been here the longest now for 30-some years. My wife, Hazel, is meeting with some ladies this morning for a Bible study.
Yeah, I'm Kenton Miller, and my wife, Keeter, and I have been here for a couple years now, and we're excited to see Sarah a part of this team as well. I've just taken a walk today, and so we're praying for Sarah and is you as well. Appreciate you coming alongside her and partnering with her.
Yep, so we just wanted to send you greetings. There's lots of things, exciting things happening here. We just had a conference retreat a couple weeks ago where we talked about the need for discipleship within the context of the Austrian churches, and we know that Sarah's going to add a huge blessing to the church in terms of discipleship and the road that they're going on. So we're very excited for her to come join us and see her gifts being used here in Austria.
Right. And so big thanks for supporting Sarah, taking care of her, preparing her, and we'll make sure that...
Well, we got to see half of it. That was great. So you might have caught in the video, the guys were in Linz in the car, and we'll have a map of Austria up shortly. So I don't know if any of you have been to Austria, but there's a little city called Linz, and it's between Salzburg and Vienna. It's in Upper Austria, and that's where the guys in the car were. However, I'll be living in a town called Steyr, which is about a 30-minute drive south. And Austria is a country in Central Europe, and it's a place where a lot of migrants and refugees are attracted to. And so in a minute, I'm going to share a bit more about what that looks like and their context there. There we go. So you can see Linz there is in Upper Austria. And if you go to the next slide. So in Austria right now, there are quite a few refugees that have come. And Austria is a very nationalistic country. They love their culture and their language. However, when people that are different from them come in, it creates a lot of fear and tension. And so in 2017, the Austrian government actually banned women from wearing the full head covering. As well, in 2019, they banned school-age children from wearing the hijab. Another measure they have taken in 2015, when the refugee crisis began, they actually started building walls around their borders just to control the flow of refugees and migrants in and out. Another issue in Austria is alcoholism. Europe in general is known as the highest consumers of alcohol. And in Austria specifically, statistics show that over 50% of men and 20% of women who drink have had heavy drinking episodes in the past 30 days, which means that in one time they've consumed more than 6 beverages of alcohol. And while alcoholism is an issue in itself, it's also a symptom of other things. Similar to statistics in Canada today, about a quarter of young adults suffer from mental health issues. And in Austria, beer especially is accessible to anyone over the age of 16. Another aspect of Austrian culture is religion. And so historically, Austria was seen as a Catholic nation and a Christian nation. However, right now, numbers are dropping and churches are becoming older and emptying. Around 50% of the population would still identify as Catholic, though that would be mostly cultural, and many less people would actually be practicing. As well, because of the influx of refugees, around 8% of the population would identify as Muslim, and only 4% would identify as Protestant. And so we have a picture here of the beautiful church that I'll be serving with in Austria. If my German serves me right, it is the Mennonitische Freikirche am Schlosspark, which means the Mennonite Free Church in Castle Park. And I really like this picture because I think it represents the Austrian church well. In general, the population is older. However, there are a few young people and there are a few refugee families. The Free Church in Austria is an interesting thing. So because the Mennonite Church is so small, it's not actually recognized by the government. And so what happened in 2013, a few different evangelical denominations came together so that they would be large enough to be recognized by the government. And so in those denominations are included the Mennonites as well as the Baptists. And so they actually came together to form what is now called the Free Church. So now they're able to teach religion classes in school and have more authenticity in the public sector. And so there is another video that we're going to try. And this is just from the church in Austria saying hello. These are the Iranians speaking Farsi. I could not translate that part of the video.
Hi, Sarah. I'm very much looking forward to seeing you.
Sarah,
hello, Sarah. Do you still remember me? I'll be happy when you come again, not only to visit us, hopefully, but to stay.
Sarah, wir freuen uns. Hi, Sarah. Ich freue mich ganz arg auf dich und ich kann es kaum erwarten, dass du endlich zu uns kommst und Teil unserer Gemeinde bist.
Maybe I need not interpret for you anymore then, because you know so much different by then.
Hi, Sarah. Ich freue mich wirklich sehr, dass du dich auf den Weg machst, hierher zu kommen. Und es wird super sein, wenn du bei uns bist. Ganz liebe Grüße hier von Steyr nach Kanada.
And so this is just at the end, the pastor, Pastor Tim, who leads the church there, and he's from Germany. And so when I go to Austria, most of the ministry work I'll be doing is connected with the local church. And one of the things I want to talk about is invitation and evangelism. And so in Austria, though there is a small population that attends church, a lot of the population doesn't have a box for Christianity or religion. And so a quick story of when I was there last time, I was inviting some of the young adults at the local university if they wanted to participate in a Bible study. And when I went to the office to see if I could hang up posters to advertise, the ladies behind the desk were confused and they said, "What is a Bible study?" And so I was a bit taken aback, but tried to explain what the Bible was and who Jesus was, but they just had no reference for that. In a city where there are many churches and many statues of Jesus, this generation, my generation and younger, just has no concept for what that is. And so a big part of my role will be inviting younger people in the church, telling them the good news, in Austria. Another part of my work will be discipleship within the church, and so that can be through teaching and preaching, through leading Bible studies. The church in Austria is really great at doing community inside their own walls, but there is a hesitancy and a need to reach out beyond their own community into the rest of Austria, and so that will be another thing that I'll be encouraging them in. And finally, another big part of my role is church partnership. And so as a Canadian going to live in Austria, I have a really unique perspective and role in being able to build bridges between churches and see how the church in Canada can go and encourage and teach the church in Austria, but also how the church in Austria can encourage and teach the church in Canada. And in Revelation, when we talk about the end times, when Jesus returns, we see the church as this global family made up of all tribes, languages, and nations. And so part of my role will be to see how can we see this global church come here and now, as that is the picture of what the church will look like one day. And so I want to share a bit more about partnership and how as individuals and as a church, you can invest in the work that God is doing in Austria. Two of the major ways to do this are through finances and prayer. And I'll share a bit now, but like Jim said, there'll be a table out back where you can ask more questions, pick up a prayer card, and sign up for my update letters. And so financially, we've missed the numbers there. I'm at around 87% of what I need before I leave. And so I need to raise the funds for my first term, which is 3 years. As well, this can happen through monthly donations or one-time gifts. And the next way to invest in the work that God is doing in Austria is through prayer. And in James 5:16, it says, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." And so even though God is all-powerful, he chooses to use us, and he chooses to use his church and their prayers to bring about his kingdom here on earth.